Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today I'm delighted to be talking with Eileen Roth, founder of Everything in Its Place. Eileen is a national speaker, trainer, and consultant in the areas of office organization, time management, and home organization. She is also the author of Organizing for Dummies. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you, Rochelle. Nice to be here.
Great. Eileen, your book is called Organizing for Dummies, and I'm wondering how we're all kind of dummies when it comes to getting organized.
Well, actually, in a way, many people are, because the first thing that they don't do is that they don't assign a place for anything.
Huh.
So they bring things in, whether it's papers or it's physical items, and they just put it down wherever it lands, and that could be on your computer, too, and it just sits there. Or maybe you download something and you just, you know, let it end up at the end of your documents file, and so you don't put it away. And that kind of makes you a dummy because you automatically said, okay, you need to have a step two in order to find this again.
Wow, yeah.
So, but at the bottom of every dummy's book, you may not have noticed it, but it says a reference for the rest of us. And it's true because one of the nice things about the dummy style is that you can pick up the book and everything is written in short paragraphs. So you can just find anything you want as a reference guide.
Wow. So, well, what do you find are the obstacles that people encounter when it comes to getting organized? What are the most common ones?
Well, the first obstacle is that you don't have any type of system.
Okay.
Yeah, they just, like I said, they just dump things at the end of their My Documents file, or they walk in the door and they just put down, you know, their purse and their keys, any place, you know, or their coat, any place they land. And then, you know, 2 hours later they're going, oh, I got to go back and get something from the car and they can't remember where their keys are.
So our dining room tables are not a system.
Definitely not. Neither, and kitchen desks tend to be a big problem, too. People who have a desk in their home and they just store things on that, everything on there.
Yep.
Not just, you know, the things that would be desk-oriented, but everything else. And so there's no system. They don't establish the name of my company, which is Everything in Its Place. They don't have a place that they put everything.
Wow.
And so it's the biggest obstacle. The second obstacle is probably time. And we're even busier now. Technology is not saving us time. It's actually causing us more things to do because now people can reach you faster. They can send you an email and they want a response today. They can call you. They can fax you. We have family obligations. Many more families are two parents working, and so you don't have as much time for your children. And you don't have time to do all the things that you want to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that Organizing for Dummies is a book that manages a ton of information. You talk on your website that the Wall Street Journal said that people lose as much as 6 weeks a year just searching for information, which I thought was incredible. So how did you manage all this information in writing the book? And I'm thinking you have some tips for those of us who are writers.
Definitely. I have to tell you, this was actually somewhat of an interesting story. When they called me to write the book, I was in the middle of getting, actually at the beginning of getting divorced.
Wow.
So that they called in February, and the Dummies people have an interesting situation where they have a set schedule, and it's a very tight schedule. You probably heard that most books often don't come out if you go to a traditional publisher for a year, year and a half. They want it written in 6 months, and then they do 3 months of editing, and it's out.
Wow.
So they called in February, and they wanted this book done in August. August was when I was putting both of my daughters into college and moving from Chicago to Arizona.
Wow.
So I had to pack up a house, move, drive across the country for a few days, get settled into a new apartment, and write a book.
Wow.
Now, Dummy's book also has another straight rule, 384 pages to the page.
Wow.
In fact, I wrote an extra chapter that we had to cut out on parties and planning because there just was no room. I had written more than we needed. So I needed to be organized to get this done because I had a lot of things going on. The one thing that I am in love with for many, many things is Excel.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't have Excel, any kind of a spreadsheet will work. And if you don't know how to use a spreadsheet or you're afraid of it, I'm not talking about doing numbers. I'm talking about really just doing words in like a table. But you could use a table in Word, in, well, if you use Microsoft Word or if you use a similar program in your word processing document. And I started out breaking down what I was going to do for the book with creating basically a general table of contents. I didn't know if it was going to stay in that order, and there were a few changes, But it helped to just start with having, okay, I know there's going to be a beginning, and that's the last part I figured out. What do I want to put in the very beginning? And instead, I started with what I thought was the easiest part, which was, okay, one of the things in my case is there were three big areas. There's an area on the home, there's an area on the office, and there's an area on time management. And then there's actually another section in a dummy's book, because at the very back of every dummy's book, they have this something called part of 10, and it has to be called that. That's traditional for them. And it's basically 10 tips on four or five different topics.
Wow.
So then from the table of contents, I said, okay, so if within the home, I already know how I'm going to do that. That one's kind of an easy one for me. It was just, I'm going to take each room, and that's going to be a chapter. And so I just wrote down the name of the room. I wasn't playing with the title yet. In fact, what I did was write the copy first and then go back and figure out what I thought the title should be. And another interesting thing that I did is I used paper folders. Every chapter was a separate folder. And there are some pictures in this book. Very few dummies books had pictures. I think we're one of the first ones to have as many pictures. I actually had a separate Excel sheet that had, I submitted 60 pictures.
Wow.
Which is a lot. They didn't all come from me. I had called, like, Lillian Vernon and the Container Store and a couple other different places and said, you know, there's a picture of this. We'd like to use it in the book. You know, can we get it from you? So I sent to the dummies people a list saying, here's the picture, here's the chapter it goes in, here's the figure number. So in other words, if it's the third picture in chapter 3, it was 3-3.
Yep.
And this is, you know, the page it's on for the text right now. And at that point, of course, the text is 8.5 by 11. I don't lay it out for the size of the dummies book or anything. I'm just typing it on a normal 8.5 by 11 page. So where it's going to get moved to, I don't know. But at that point, it's just a list saying this is where it goes. And of course, within the text, you would say you insert figure 3-3. And then pictures, of course, were cut. But I needed to be organized. And then a copy of that picture went in that file folder with the text. Now, I had the same thing on the computer. And the reason I took it off the computer, because sometimes I think when you're writing and you're reading it on the computer, you've also got some eye strain going on if you're writing a book. If you're writing an article, it's probably fine. But if you're writing a book, it starts to get to be much. And so then I would sometimes just leave it for a day or two and then come back to it with fresh eyes.
Wow.
And I'd have the pictures next to it, too, so I could visually see everything at once without having to jump from one thing to another thing.
Wow. Well, so you used a couple of systems. You used an online system and used an offline system.
Yes. And I think that they both helped. And the good part about the offline, too, with the folders is sometimes it was easier to just take a folder and go, okay, I think this chapter should go before this chapter. I think it would flow better this way.
Wow.
These are groupings. And in the end, I mean, it was just like too many chapters of the home altogether. We even split that into two sections so that we said one was storage spaces. You can store things like basements and the laundry room and a few places that were separate from the main rooms, like your den and your living room and dining room and your bedroom and things.
Got it.
So separated that out, too.
Now, I'm curious. You know, I'm a writer. I write books. I collect papers. I collect information. I'm really good at cleaning up my filing cabinet every 6 months. I'm not so good at getting rid of my magazine. So I have, you know, a couple years of Writer's Digest hanging around here. And I say things and think I'll get back to them, and then I just end up throwing everything away. So do you have a tip or a system for saving or dealing with all that kind of paper information that writers tend to hold on to?
Yes. First of all, it depends on whether you're a general writer, like in just writing articles for magazines, or you're going to write a book.
Huh.
If you are collecting, you know, reference information, you're going to want some kind of a reference file. Now, so if you're writing just like on, you only write on one particular topic or for one particular industry, it's a lot easier to set up a reference file. If you're looking at, you write on anything at all and you don't have a particular topic area, that makes it a little harder to say don't save anything, because then you think, oh, I want to save everything because I don't know if I might write on this topic this day. The trouble is 2 years from now, that topic might have totally changed.
Right.
And so saving really old stuff doesn't help. So I do recommend, you know, if you can focus on just several topics, just keep information on that topic. In other words, if you write about health things, then save health information that you might write about. But if you've got an article on good foods to eat from keep you from getting cancer and the article is 5 years old, there's probably better information out there now than what you had 5 years ago.
Wow.
So you do have to clean this stuff up sometimes. Now, Writer's Digest is a problem because there's a lot of articles in there that you think you may want one day. On the other hand, there's a lot of articles that might not be. Like, you might write only nonfiction and never write fiction, so all the articles on fiction you don't care about. Personally, I think it's better to take the articles out and file them by what they're about, what category they're in. So then the next time you want to know something about literary agents, you just look up literary agents. If you want to know something about, you know, writing, maybe some grammar things, put them all in the grammar section and separate those into reference. So then when you want that information, it's all together and you just pull it out, even if you didn't read it.
Wow.
And once you read it, there's nothing in there that you don't know, don't hold it. Don't keep it. Now, there's one other system you could do for those people who really can't say, I can't give up writer's day. I just got too many great articles in it, and they don't want to worry about copying page 58 attached to two different articles. So then what you could do is, again, I like Excel, take this spreadsheet and put down, this article is in this magazine this year on this page. So now at least you've got a list so that when you're looking for all of these rules on grammar or something, on how to, you know, do something grammatically, or different places you can put an article on this or something, then you can at least run to this Excel list, do a quick search, and you could, or do a sort, and you could just put all these together. So you could at least find what magazines they're in, and you can go to that magazine.
Wow.
But you could end up with, I mean, if you're a writer, you could end up with 20 years worth of magazines. That's a lot of space.
That's a lot of space to hang around in your office.
Right. So I would really recommend first that you pulled out those articles and put them by category, what you want. And every once in a while, go through there and get rid of them. Also, with those articles, highlight or underline with red ink something that's of interest to you in that article. So when you do read through it, you know what it's about, and you can maybe find something that you might want. It's kind of like studying in a way.
That's a great idea.
And then you can find it again quicker, and that might be the one thing that you want. Now, that's another thing, though. Let's say there's just one website you found in this article you think's great. Well, start a spreadsheet of websites. And put down, here's this website, and here's this kind of information that's on it. Again, another thing you could sort by you putting it in Excel, because you can just do a sort. And, by the way, the sort feature is under data in Excel if you're looking for it.
Great.
And you can just sort everything alphabetically. You don't have to be really knowledgeable about Excel to start using it.
Well, this is good, and we may need to do a segue onto Excel because I have no idea how to use it.
Okay.
I find it very confusing. Do you have a tip for a place to go for learning Excel? Do you go right to the website?
You can go right to Microsoft.com.
And they'll have tutorials.
And they have learning lessons right on there. A lot of people don't know that. You can actually sit and teach yourself how to use a program.
That's great.
And I have to admit, I taught myself Excel and PowerPoint from the Dummies books before I got the book contract.
Well, there you go. So you actually used the Dummies books before you.
I was actually familiar with them at least before they called, because that was, I'm one of these people who needs to take my time learning computer, and so this allowed me to not only take my time, but then if I forgot how to do something, and I do just some basic number stuff for accounting on Excel, and I can go back and say, okay, now how do I write that formula? And I've got it underlined in the book, and I can go right to that chapter, and I can go right to that thing that I need to know.
Well, I noticed that you wrote the book with Elizabeth Miles. I've written a lot of books with my spouse. I'm wondering what it was like for you and what strategies you two used to make writing together work.
And this is interesting. The literary agent who called me to write this book put me together with Elizabeth. I did not know her. I met her probably two-thirds of the way through the book. She lives in a different state. And so what we did is use the tracking function or reviewing function, whichever one you want to call it, in Word. And so I would write. I would send it to her. She would read through it as a writer. She really didn't know it. She said she learned a lot about organizing during my book.
Wow.
And then she worried about, the Dummies people actually send you this whole CD, and it's very complicated with all of the rules of what's a call out, what's a bullet, how do you do all their little logo icons, how many you have to use and how many you can choose for yourself and how many you can make up if they approve it. And so she worried about all the rules, and I did the writing, and then I had some ideas of what I thought might be a call-out box, but then she would read the chapter and say, well, I think maybe this would be better for a call-out box, you know, according to their rules and stuff, or she might agree with me, and it became a box or a bullet point versus straight text.
Well, that's fascinating. I know both the Idiot's Guide and the Dummies books are very structured that way.
Yes, they are. And it's one nice thing about their style is that it's really short, easy, sweet, to the point. You've got to write in a short paragraph, and you should basically have a tip in each paragraph.
Wow. So tell me, you know, talk a little bit about the style of the Dummies books and, you know, what it taught you about life or writing or organizing from writing one.
Well, actually, it really pushed my organizing button because I still had to be organized to write it. And as I said, I used the table of contents in my Excel sheet to help me guide me and say, okay, here's the points I think I want to cover. And yet there still were times where I'm going, okay, should this be in this chapter, should this be in that chapter? More on the time manager probably than anything else, because obviously the dining room chapter is the dining room, it's not the bedroom. And the desk is the desk, and papers with papers, and the computer chapter is the computer chapter. Those were pretty set. It's more the time management. Sometimes some things can go in different places in time management, but it made me be very clear on words because
They
wanted it short. You only had a set number of pages. And another thing that I didn't mention is they requested every quarter of the book had to be turned in, and they gave you the date.
Wow.
And you were penalized if you didn't meet the date. So you needed to really just get it done on time and push to get it done if you had to work till midnight or whatever. There, I felt I got carpal tunnel, and I was never diagnosed with it, but my hands were killing me. Because it's 384 pages, and I had 6 months, and it was like I felt like all I was doing was writing every single day.
I'm guessing you were writing every single day.
I did. And actually, I don't know how good it works, but my mother had come up with this crazy thing of apple cider vinegar hot, and then you boil it for some reason, and then you let it cool down, and I literally soaked my hands in it, and it seemed to help.
Well, that's an interesting tip that I never would have expected.
You have to try it for yourself.
I may.
It's really busy.
Well, one of the chapters I most appreciated was the chapter on planning the day, and I think as a writing coach, the complaint or the query I get almost every week is, you know, I really want to write, but I never get around to it. I don't know how to put it in my day. So what tips do you have for people who want to write but just never get to it?
Well, there's a couple. First of all, you need to have a goal. What do you want to write about? And then take your goal and let's make it a little bit real, because I think what happens is a lot of times writers have stuff just running around in their head, and then they never get around to it. So the first tip, and I call them the 3 P's, is to put it on paper. Write down what you think you're going to write about.
Huh.
Okay, so I want to write a magazine article, and I want to write it on this subject. So write it down, put it on paper. Second P is picture the play. Really picture it. Pretend it was like going to the theater, to a regular play, and seeing a play. How do you see this story? How do you see this happening? Probably, too, even picture it being written and you getting some kind of an award-winning contest from Writer's Digest or something about the article that you wrote. And the third P is to pursue the peak. When somebody's climbing a mountain, their goal is to reach the top. Your goal is to get this finished. So don't stop halfway. If you were climbing the mountain, you're not going to say, oh, well, I climbed two-thirds of the mountain. No one's going to care. They're going to know that you climbed Mount McKinley. So go for the gold. Pursue the whole thing. Now, the other problem is that, okay, so you've got that part done, but you're still saying, I'm out of time, you know, I get this work done during the day, and then the kids are home or whatever, and then I have no time to do it. So what you need to do is you need to schedule some time during the day. And every day, this is your writing time. Now, I highly recommend this is not your worst time of the day because your brain's not going to function then. So you don't want to be writing at 10 o'clock at night if you're ready to fall asleep.
Yeah.
That doesn't help. So you want to schedule this preferably during your peak time. So when do you feel the best? If you are a writer, if that's not your main goal and it's kind of like, okay, you have a 9-to-5 job and you're a writer on the side or you're trying to break into writing, you may want to pick some weekend time and say, especially if you've got children, you may want to ask a spouse or get the kids to go to a neighbor's house and say, okay, I'd like you to be gone for these 2 hours so I can do some writing. You know, what can you do? Or maybe you pack them off to the movies and let them go to the movies for 2 hours. So they're just you need a block of time.
Yep.
And you've got to make it.
Yep.
And you just have to figure out what's a good time for you. Now, peak time means when do you feel your best? because you want to do your other things like running errands and doing things like that, doing your non-essential thinking time during your non-peak time. So if you really want to write, it's a question of scheduling and deciding what you want to write about.
That's very helpful. Now what about the writer who has more than one project going at once, more than one deadline coming up, and how do they decide what to do first, or how do you decide what to do first?
Well, I think the first thing you need to know is if you're a hare or a tortoise. Most people remember the story of the hare and the tortoise. I'm not talking about running the race. I'm talking about the method to get there. If you are a tortoise, that means you're the type of person who kind of does things slow and steady, and you like to focus on something and do one thing at a time. If you're a hare, you're the type of person who needs a change of pace. You really don't like to stay steady on something for a long time. You like to do different things. You're more of a multitasker. So let's just say that it's Monday, and you've got three things you need to write, and they're all due on Friday. What's in the corporate world is called the quiet hour. You try to find your best hour during your peak time that you want to do something. So let's just take the quiet hour and the hare and the tortoise. The tortoise is going to work on Tuesday on project one and try to get it done during that hour. And on Wednesday, he's going to do project two, and on Thursday, he's going to do project three. And then by Friday, he'll have all three done. The rabbit doesn't like to work steady for an entire hour on the same thing. So what he will do is work like 20 minutes on Tuesday on project one, and then the next 20 minutes on project two, and the next 20 minutes on project three. And then on Wednesday, he'd probably do the same thing, break up 20, 20, and 20, but this time he might start out with project three, and then do project one, and then do project two. And then Thursday, he might do, maybe he'll start with project two, and then do number one, and then do number three, and he'll just vary it up. But he spent the same amount of time. If we're just using a 60-minute block as an example, he spent 20 minutes on each project on each of the 3 days and spent the same time as a tortoise, but he worked totally differently.
Wow.
And that sometimes, if you've got multiple deadlines, that may stimulate your creative juices.
Yeah.
But you need to know what type of person you are. Are you a tortoise or a hare? So when you're scheduling when you're going to get this work done, you're working with your pace and not against it.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the best thing that will help you. And, of course, you also have to not procrastinate.
So you actually have to show up and do the work when you've scheduled it.
Yeah, and that's why if you actually put it in your calendar and say, okay, every day I'm a morning person, I'm best in the morning, so I'm going to write from 9 to 10. And that's when the kids are in school, and so there's no one's going to bother me. Put the phone on Do Not Disturb. Don't answer it. Do not look at your email. Don't do anything else. But from 9 to 10, you're going to spend 1 hour just writing.
Wow.
And you'd be surprised. You'll get more done in that hour than you get done the rest of the day.
Wow.
Because you've had no interruptions, and you're only concentrating on one thing. By the way, it takes quite a bit of time to change focus. They say it takes about 6 minutes when you get interrupted to get back to where you were. That's a lot of time. So that's why it's important not to take the phone and not to let email or anything else. If you've got one of those dingers on your computer that tells you when an email comes in, shut it off.
Yeah, I tell my clients that all the time. You've got to get out of your email program. You've got to get out of your Twitter feed. You can't do any of that while you're writing, because it just shortens your brain's ability to function.
Yeah, if you're on Facebook or MySpace or Twitter, do that when you're your slow time. Or maybe you're cooking dinner, and, you can go to the computer and do those things when you can go back and forth to the stove. That's the time to do that, is to get that. That cannot be a major part of your day.
Well, now, if I did that, I would set my house on fire. So I'm not going to try to multitask.
Yeah, actually, I would, too, because I am a tortoise. I'm a focus person. I need to just focus on doing dinner, or else I will burn down dinner.
Yeah, I'm the same way. So if you were to work with a writer on organizing, what organizing tips do you think are most important for those of us who are doing this for a living?
Well, the first thing is, if it's not a table of contents, it's at least an outline or something, some idea of where you want to go with this article or book. It's a table of contents if it's a book. If it's an article, it's like a mini table of contents. Where do you want to go? And then, like I said, I backtracked and then did the beginning of the book, which was the general part of the book and the general systems, like my way system, deciding whether you want to say something or not. That's all in the beginning of the book. And so you're doing your intro to your article after you've written the article. So actually, you're more writers than I am. I've only written one book and several articles. But that would be the way I would do it.
Okay.
And then go back and check your clothes. So the most important thing is to organize it so that you have a guide for where you're going to go. Now, it may change, but at least you have a starting place to get going and writing this thing. And then
yep.
afterwards you can say, well, you know, if I took this story and moved this in this section, this might be better, or this might be a better example than if I left it where it is now.
So in a sense, we're back to the system, you know,
mm-hmm.
a system
yeah.
for writing an article or a book, just like a system for organizing an office or
right.
a house. Or
yes, well, name a company is everything in its place. You need to put it all in its place.
So do you have a final tip you'd like to leave with our listeners?
That actually is my final tip. Put everything in its place.
That's great. That's what I tell my kids. That's what I try to tell myself. So thank you so much, Eileen. This has been really helpful.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. If your listeners are interested, I have a free organizing e-zine I send out once a month, and I usually send it out in the middle of the month because I also know that you're crowded with everybody else's newsletters coming at the first of the month.
That's very helpful. This has been another edition of Always Write with Rochelle, the Write Now Coach. You can find a link to Eileen's website and her tips and her most recent book at my website, writenowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.